As the Lord might help this afternoon, I would direct your thoughts to Psalm 115, to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 115, and read the first verse. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And dear child of God, do we know, we say these things very carefully and not in any judgmental way as we look into our own heart, of that giving thanks unto the Lord as we read in the opening of Psalm 107, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then the psalmist pens those words, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And as we read in the revelation of those in heaven, those singing praises unto the Lord, worthy the Lamb that was slain, singing praises unto him, and if we are his, that prospect that one day we were found singing praises unto the Lord. But what of our earthly pathway? What of our journey below? And the Apostle Paul in the epistle to the Philippians exhorts them to rejoice in the Lord. Turn to the fourth chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice, let your moderation be known among all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. In everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. O child of God, yes, this pathway here below is through much tribulation of entering the kingdom. And yes, it is that pathway of prayer, that pathway of pleading, 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 of supplication. I cannot let thee go except thou bless me. But what of our thanksgiving to the Lord? What of praising his name? I say these things very carefully, for it is easy to fall into a form of words. In our early days, when we the Lord brought us out from this world and we knew nothing of religion, as it were, or worship. And those that would perhaps use those expressions, praise the Lord. And there is that right praising of his name when it is drawn out and wrought out from our hearts. And with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Unto him. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And perhaps we look in our hearts those times when that prayer has gone up to the Lord and there has been those answers. And as has been commented, it's as though the enemy of our soul sometimes seems to draw us away. And we do not return that thanks due unto the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy that endureth forever. Give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And truly it will be, yes, as that is known within our hearts, through that work and power of the Holy Spirit, not, as it were, phrases from our own emotion, but that drawn out of giving thanks unto him. And it searches me out. How thankful am I? What are those praises to his name? For all that he has done for us. As we have those words in that hymn. He wept, he bled, he died for you. What more? What more could Jesus do? He who has called us out of this present evil world through that work of the Holy Spirit in that covenant of electing love and mercy to follow him. All that he has done for us. And in the 115th Psalm, the words before us, not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory for mercy and for thy truth's sake. Can we not echo those words? Can we not echo them? For they are truth as it concerns that work of grace in our never dying soul. For as we look back in that work of grace in our lives, as we have that word of the hymn writer, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. And that number that no man can number, those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those loved of Almighty God, chosen of God the Father, because he would love. Nothing of what they would do, nothing of what they would become or say, love because he would love. And as we read in the 9th of Romans, it's not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. And as we are brought And as we walk out that way, believe the Lord brings us to that place. All of Him, nothing of us. All of Him. All of Him. And yes, it humbles us, brings us perhaps to that place, if I explain it in those words, but why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as me? Why should the Lord, perhaps in our closet, brought to that place, why should the Lord love one such as me? Sovereign grace, all sin abounding. Sovereign love, sovereign mercy. And we think of those as we spoke of the Lord and this morning and coming to His people, or to the Jews, and in that opening chapter of the Gospel of John, we read these truths. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Nothing here is there for creature ability, for the ability of man to warrant salvation, to do something for their salvation. No. But of God. That work of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That people loved, given, loved of Almighty God, loved of the Father, given unto the dear Son to be His bride, to be that number in that book of life, to sing His praises for all eternity. Each one. And that the dear eternal Son took into union with His divine nature, our nature, body and soul, came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. The dear Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And we, as this year seems to have gone by so quickly, but we will come to that time of year, if we're spared, perhaps in singing those. I know people get a bit about which words you use, but the carols, the Christmas hymns, and in the Gadsby's hymn book, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, lost sinners to recover, an infant was born, that He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And as the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, of a truth, Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am in chief. They shall call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins. And that work of the God, the Holy Spirit, that work, as we spoke a little of the new birth this morning, that work unlooked for, that work undesired, but that work of the Holy Spirit within each one of the Lord's people at that appointed time. That appointed time. Known from Almighty God from all eternity to eternity. And as we look back in our lives, can we trace out that time? Perhaps we might express it in those words when we may have been going on in this world unconcerned. May have been going on till that time of bringing us into concern. Why am I thus? Why these concerns for my eternal state? And as that work of the Holy Spirit is known within, so that showing of us of what we are, and that bringing of that one to cry unto that name, the dear Lord Jesus Christ, for mercy, for the forgiveness of our sins, that name that we may have despised, that name that we may have taken upon our lips in so many wrong ways, and yet in sovereign love, sovereign mercy, electing love and mercy, a people afar off, made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Lord upon the cross at Calvary cried, as he suffered the wrath of Almighty God due upon your sins, my sins, if we are his, he cried, "It is finished. It is finished. It is finished." And so, as we read in that portion in Colossians, ye are complete in him. And we would not digress, but as we read in the early church, how those crept in who would add to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at Galatia, amongst the Galatians, those that wanted to bring in circumcision, the Judaizers, and how Paul withstood them, "For it is finished." That work of salvation is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And in the second of chapter of the book of Jonah, I think in the last verse or so, we of that Jonah had walked through. Yes, in his rebellion, and yet the unchanging love of Almighty God, and that bringing of him to cry unto the Lord, that bringing of him of that hope that I shall yet look again to the temple and to the Lord. And then we read those words of Jonah, "Salvation is of the Lord." That finished work. Ye are complete in him. And so, in these words before us, not unto us, not unto us of anything we have done, anything we might think we are, anything of our own ability, no, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name that is above every name, that name as we think of the hymn of Newton. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. And as we spoke just now, perhaps that time in our lives when we had no time for that name of the Lord Jesus, and as we said, to our shame, perhaps took it in many wrong ways. And yet, a people loved from all eternity. And in those words of Paul to the Ephesians, you hath he quickened. You hath he made alive. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, 'tis the gift of God. And brought to love that name, the sweetness of that name. Dear child of God. And dear Peter, writing to those scattered ones in his first epistle, unto you that believe, what? He is precious. He is precious. Do we not know something of the preciousness of the dear Lord Jesus to our soul? Great mercy if we do, for these things are known by his people. And these are they that can cry these words, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, honour, power, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Thy mercy, as the love of Almighty God is undeserved and merited, so the mercy of Almighty God. And what is mercy? Perhaps we think of those times of combat in medieval battles, and that one who had conquered the other would hold the sword over them, and they would cry on the ground, mercy, mercy. And that one who could destroy, choosing not to take that action. Oh, what of the mercy of Almighty God? Yes, through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wrath due upon our sins, borne by the dear Lord Jesus Christ. Unto you that believe, he is precious. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for mercy, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Dear child of God, as we've said, do we know that drawing out of our heart unto the Lord? That giving unto him that honour, that glory due unto his name. And the Lord God omnipotent who reigneth in heaven above, we would not dwell, but as we read through that Psalm 119 of those of worshipping idols, yes, as mention is made here of those symbolic idols, those statues that people worshipped, and we read in Samuel, of how the Ark of God was taken into the temple of Dagon, that false god, that idol worship god, and how Dagon fell to the ground. And there is a warning here, because I think sometimes people may just think that idolatry is perhaps worshipping a shrine, a piece of cloth or whatever it might be. But what is idolatry? That rises up in the heart of man, in the place of God. And the dear Apostle John, at the end of his first epistle, whereas the other writers of the epistles seem to end their epistle with a doxology or an exhortation, he writes, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols, from those things that would draw your heart away from the Lord." And I believe it was Calvin who was reputed to have said that our hearts are idol, I-D-O-L, idol factories, those things that come into our lives. And oh, what an idol perhaps we can make of our family, our children. Oh, think of the consequences. We do not say it judgmentally or in any wrong way, those consequences of that, of Jacob and his love for Joseph, how it almost consumed him, how he would say these things carefully. And we read in that portion in Colossians of mortify those things in our lives that would draw us away from that following of the Lord. Covetousness, which is idolatry. What is covetousness? It's that inordinate affection for those things that we do not have. And that heart. For in Mark we read, it's not that which goeth into us, is it? But that which cometh out of us, that draws us away, that causes us to perhaps do those things we should not do, not in any excusing way. Covetousness, which is idolatry. For if the Lord, if we believe the Lord is able to supply our need, oh, that grace, that mercy, to be content with what he has given us. And perhaps we say this very carefully and drive down the motorway and look at other cars and things, and where's our heart when the Lord has provided for us? If we had this, that's better, better, but never, we will never be content. And as we mentioned, the Paul writing of being content which the things that we have, we have those words in the Philippians, I have learned, whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Have I? Have you? To bow the knee to the sovereign will of Almighty God. For through our text, as those things we spoke of this morning concern the immutability, the unchangeableness of Almighty God, so those things that we have read this afternoon, the sovereignty of Almighty God in that ruling over all things, that returning of thanks unto the Lord to give unto him all honour and glory. And time is going, and as you know, in the first book of Samuel, as it speaks of Hannah, that state she was in that bitterness of soul, in that cry, in that desire that she might have a child. And she came, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord. And yes, we read how Eli misinterpreted her, how she prayed that the Lord might remember her, poured out her heart before the Lord, poured out her soul before the Lord, as we read in his word. And yes, the Lord remembered her, called that child Samuel, for this child I prayed. But then we read in that second chapter of that praising, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted, is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy but the Lord is the Lord, and there is none beside thee, neither there is any rock like our God. That returning of thanks unto the Lord, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thee, unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And again, as we spoke of this time of the year, and perhaps the reading of the first chapter of Luke, of those things spoken of concerning the incarnation, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit over Mary. With God nothing shall be impossible. And we read there, as Mary went to see Elizabeth, her cousin, and she spoke, and we don't have time to read the rest of the words, that my soul doth magnify the Lord, the Magnificat, as it is known, but reading those words of returning unto the Lord, that glory, that thanks due unto his name. And we read Psalm 103, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and all within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then, what does David exhort? And forget not all his benefits. Yes, there is that hymn, is it it? If it's a hymn, or those words that are sung sometimes. Count thy blessings, name them one by one. Do we? Do we? Forget not all his benefits, and as the psalmist enumerates them, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness, tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed as the eagle. And as we thought about these things, those words, and the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. His love, his great love, as we spoke this morning of it, manifest to his people. What of that returning of thanks unto him? And we read the portion in of those words in Colossians as the apostle in the as in that way of writing the epistles, certainly with Paul, of speaking of those gospel truths and those things that are known in the heart of his people. And then the practical walking out. If ye love me, the Lord said, keep my commandments. And that great commandment, that ye love one another. And yes, we can say these next words as they are written, as I have loved you. That ye love one another as I have loved you. What love? What love is contained in those words? As I have loved you. He who laid down his life might take it again. He who sweat on that prayer in Gethsemane. Father, if impossible, take this cup from me. What was in that cup? The wrath of Almighty God due upon all the sins of his people. But what does he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Another subject. But oh, yes, in the Lord's Prayer, as it is known, how many will have said, and we do not say it judgmentally, for these, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But oh, we need that constant reminder of the truth of those words. Oh, yes, I know, when we write one to another, or perhaps announce, if the Lord will. But it's another thing in our lives when it does not, when the Lord overturns, or perhaps think back of the days of COVID when, you know, we had thought the year would go on, and if the Lord will, this preacher and that preacher, we would be gathering, but it was not his will. And I believe in that path that the Lord leads us, we will be brought to that place. Not my will, but thine be done. But it is that bowing of the knee in obedience, in submission. And this may be that burning up of what we would lean upon in that sacrifice to the will of the Lord. We would not, another meditation of that setting of your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth, and how the dear Lord truly said, and where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. But we read this portion as we consider the words before us, not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be honour and glory. And in verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That practical walking out. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all to the honour and glory of his name. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be all honour and glory. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Doing all unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we spoke this morning, that path of the Lord's people, the bringing down of ourselves to bring us dependent upon him, the bringing down of our independence, that we might walk dependent upon him. And as the dear apostle writes, Paul, in the third of the Philippians, all those things that he laid up in store, it would seem as though he was meant to would rise to high office amongst the Pharisees and the Jews till that time that the Lord dealt with him on that road or at the gates of Damascus. And that work of grace in his heart, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? But all those things, what did he write of them? That he counted them as dung and dross, that he might win Christ, might know that power of his resurrection. What of us? What of these things of time and state compared to the eternity before us? And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, to all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. O the Lord, pardon what we've said amiss, but might there be that of the Holy Spirit, of that pondering, considering these things. And perhaps it comes to this: I can from all things parted be, except, dear Lord, from thee. Amen.